Look, gentle people, the only source of likelihood is a fist and a gentle orifice. If I'd have been a ranch, they'd have called me bar none. A fecund desert full of heartless so-and-sos. The tub of butter thereafter was rancid. We put zur and zur mouth to rest along with the chickens in our maw. Hey blood, hey sucker, is like to one as to the other. Do you love your sibling as they do, as they do? So I want to say thank you and hehehe to the Ohlone people, the indigenous people of this land. We find ourselves on the caretakers of this place, and thank you, Garrett, for that awesome reading, and Steve, for inviting me in the Poetry Center. I'm going to read some poems. Well, actually, I'd like to start by reading a couple of poems from Advice for Lovers, which City Lights published and Garrett selected and edited. So thank you, Garrett. This is called On Not Being Able to Perceive Angels. In the twilight low, I stood before the twilight without even a moon, jacking up the artifice, the proverbial number of angels that could fit on the head of a pin. Before whom and in what habit I speak. Stop me at the very vestibule and rip up my ticket. One frosty address will not diminish one jot my vegetable love. My vegetable love, my vegetable love. There's one for the glow of the post, what'd you call it, Steve? Kissy Hardy Day? On how to transfigure the body utterly. I practically ran to get out all these lonesome shoes. Shut up inside the shop I was, raging like a bull. Maddened in the midst of the race, reaching more up than across. I saw the gold foil facade of a house built on corpses, of a sea composed entirely of horses, all running to their death. Oh, I wish to the Lord I'd never been born, or died when I was young, that I'd never have seen your shining blue eye, or heard your lying tongue. Into this ugly and howly world was I wakened. The morning star met with its wanderer. All the good times are past and gone. This habitat and bred me like a shriv. Be with me always. Take any form. Love is like falconry. And I'm gonna read some poems from this new chapbook called Come Correct. That was published by Jason Dodge, who's this sculptor in Berlin. And he makes these beautiful books. They all look like this, the name on the cover. This is called Prescience, and I wrote it when I was, by grace of Daniel Benjamin, staying in the in the Josephine Miles house at Berkeley for a couple of weeks. Prescience. You're out west, that is nice. You texted me about eating lavender and then chicken with your fingers. I made myself in the Miles house a little more correct today. Concealed my garbage bags of clothes, got the slightest of haircuts, burned the holy wood, made a steak for me and Rodney, after all, a meal more befitting our station, and moreover, the first one I have made here. Porterhouse, Swiss chard with garlic, grilled onions, those light-colored sweet potatoes, lots of Kerrygold butter, and Maldon salt, the kind whose flakes are shaped like pyramids. We tried to give Jo her azot. Read a few poems of hers in the backyard. They are very boring. Sorry, Jo. Rodney is very haunted still by the death of his wife. She was a bass player and almost famous. Then she stopped playing music. They moved to Portland. There's some cute ephemera here, like a book Spicer wrote just for Jo, an edition strictly limited to one copy. In it, he writes presciently of a plague. 1945, he was 20 years old. Berkeley in a time of plague, he writes. Plague took us, laughed, and reproportioned us, swelled us to dizzying, unaccustomed size. We died prodigiously. It hurt a while, but left a certain quiet in our eyes. Blazer's syntax with a letter to Joe stuck in it. He quotes Pushkin, "My sadness is luminous." He says, "There's a spell in Arabic. Some days it's honey, some days it's onions." When I was in Stockholm in 2014, and I started smoking the Kentucky tobacco in a kind of forest that smelled like a masculine deodorant, by an orangery shut down for the season, I wrote, "My sadness wasn't as exquisite as I thought." I open Blazer right to a poem about a muskox, which describes them just as Martin did, like rocks on the mountain. Sor Juana comes to me again, El Sueño, the dream. A less ballsy translation this time. Yield to the portrait of life's inverted face. Sor Juana died of the plague 2 years after she sold her library for the poor, nursed her fellow sisters, and vowed never again to write with pen and ink. A manuscript was discovered after her death, signed with a fingernail dipped in her own blood, and the words, "Yo la peor," I the worst. Poetry was bought for some cows. Hermes stole a herd of sacred cows from Apollo and reshod their hooves to force them to walk backward away from the sun, slaughtered them, and fashioned from their entrails and a tortoise shell, the first lyre, at the sound of which Apollo's anger at the theft dissipates, and for which he gives Hermes more cows and a golden rod to guide the herds. This writing feeling. Read this writing feeling I was trying to describe. You were sleepy, but yes, I was saying how the closest thing I could compare it to is ASMR, autonomous sensory meridian response, which for me, when I first heard about it, seemed to rhyme with this feeling I get when I encounter great works of art. Like those people, usually young women in YouTube videos, crinkling Christmas paper or running their fingers across combs while whispering in Balkan accents. But when writing, it's not an auditory pleasure at all. In fact, it comes before the pen even hits the page or the finger the keys. It is a feeling come all over me. They, the ASMR people, insist it's not a sexual feeling. But we all know what saying something isn't is. Anyway, for me, it is a pleasurable, an erotic, a melancholy feeling, more so a surplus of feeling that isn't art itself, but a visceral indication that the body is ready to make art, like getting hard or wet, but it's not sexual. I'm still learning what it means. I only began noticing it a little over a week ago, but I suspect it's always been there. I'm familiar with it. I definitely already know it, but it's getting stronger now, the channels clearer, transported to the ghost or the guest of my mind, feeling come over me again, circumstance, ugh, feeling come into me, synapses arrayed but pleasurably, tearfulness upon me but no tears, as if about to yawn, change of state, deep sigh, like how Eleanor would say when preparing to sing, imagine you are smelling jasmine. She said a rose, but I thought jasmine. My dog Snoo would often yawn. Dr. Ryan, the vet, said it wasn't due to tiredness, but to an adjustment, a change of state. So jumping into the car, she'd yawn, or waiting for me to prepare her food. So yawning, come, and all the hairs on my arms and legs standing up. The feeling obliges, even as I'm describing it. Art of the line, it's nothing doing. The feeling doesn't tell me anything about how to make the writing. It simply gives me the feeling I am writing, or it's time to write, or what I'm calling this writing feeling, where I know I am receptive to a force. And I've never believed in a muse, a kind of conceit of the outward origin of a work of art. Even as I wrote, there is never any inside to differentiate from the out. I knew things, that is to say, I wrote things without knowing them. When questioned on the very words I'd used, I could not say their meanings. Tansy, for example, or embrigature. My voice was too obvious. My voice was too obvious. An Aunt Gertrude or an Uncle Josh telling me, I'd never gosh or heck or darn gosh, I'd never anatomize the parts inside me. In fact, the parts inside me called weren't parts, or they were caverns that ought to be caves or something, stalagmites that ought to be stalactites. This writing feeling come on me again, come through me. Tulips drooped, but one buttery one didn't. Or was the whole thing a dream? A restaurant approximating a beach whose floors were covered in sand. Jellyfish undulate, what seemed to be grinding on a bit of kelp. We hoped it was sexual for them both. Peered at them afterward, after the ceviche that wasn't ceviche with its cubes of potato filler, tacos that weren't tacos with their two shrimps and false casings, everything covered in first world problems, wheat and dairy. When Ma Sao laid out all the gifts of the world, the Hopi chose corn, the Apache chose game, and Bahana, the white man, chose wheat because it was easiest to carry. There's a typo in here. Bahana, the white man, chose cheat because it was easiest to carry. Jellyfish's arms were waving. We came up close to it. I said, what is that, a little string tying it to the kelp? Are they fake? AR said, yes, yes, the surfer man who'd never been on a surfboard. Nothing was not only not what it seemed to be, it was not what it was. Why bubble the tank for a plastic fish? I must smoke. They say the seas are lousy with them, jellyfish, who can withstand the acids and the poisons and the record high temperatures and decibels of the 7+ wars we have going on. They're like the bats, they say, at the Museum of Jurassic Technology that can fly through concrete walls. They just slip through the fishing nets, easy as pie, down the throat of that fat kid in Stand By Me who precipitates an entire Midwestern town to a vomitorium. You can listen to the cry of this bat on a rotary phone mounted to the wall, easy as pie, easy as fish, easy as fish cake through the cracks. I canceled class to write this poem. I a little bit counted chickens. Mugwort, that's for dreaming, that's for later. I twitched, I had everything, I had it all. But if the pen were to fall between the cracks of the fire escape, if the grove divided into double parts, and in I entered was, or if I lissom, or proved to be the very mount I rode in upon, so mote it be. Actual sad cypress, what do you see apart from what you see? Power is in the periphery, or so I'm told. I want to smoke at my desk, but I'm kind, I am my kind. Fat starling, sparrows fuss and fight, but pleasantly. What do these collocations hope for? Babushka crumbs, vertical lines in negative as rays? Merely the print of the bars of a thing that never meant to be my jail, luminescing the underside of my eyes. Records skip along my mind. What do it, I? Record do skip along the needle of my mind. My feelings pyramidal. For a fee, I guess. My sovereign entity, muckrake. Frowning sun, and yet it is a storyteller. Masao, liaison between worlds, being like, here is my corn and here is my planting stick. Come only if you want the simple life. My own existence remained none of my business, and it had to do with food. I ate the apple even into the core, as my father was said to have done. Further, I ate the core itself and thought moodily of arsenic. The trace amounts of it I'd learned from Agatha Christie novels that lurks in the seed. But there is a happy thought to apples, too. They are part of the rose family. I guess arsenic is their latent thorn, muzzled by sweet flesh, accommodating to bruises. They say my father was never the same after he fell out of that coconut tree. Recently slept in a basement in Boulder of someone who puts cilantro in a cup of water, says it stays fresher longer. My mother doesn't eat at all, or else she gorges, and there's no other explanation for it, purges to the butter knife's edge of death and lingers there, as if it's soft, as if it's the dish of butter itself she's fallen into and melted into the queendom of her own dominion. I broke into the sugar because the honey was gone. Honey is a luxury. My lover bought me an almond joy because my tooth was sweet. The Trader Joe's food was sad in its plastic bags. Himalayan salt from Peru. Blood oranges 2 weeks later going stiff. I squeezed one onto a salad for sweetness. Hijiki shined back at me. The kale had been on sale for $1.66. Today's Saturday. There's no meat left and I have to get blood drawn. My feelings pyramidal from the frozen potatoes and the rice cakes. I mean, ascended to a peak, but crumbling. I eat the carrot to its root. I even eat the root, but not the greens. I tear them off. I know the carrots wilt faster with them on. Memory of their verdigreens, too much to bear. The greatest bears in the world. The greatest bears in the world are hiding out in the wilds of California. Meanwhile, the man extolling the Brooklyn Theater with its B and C movies warms to his, sorry, its theme. The security guard says, "Sir, I'm going to have to do a random on your hands." "Turner, I am deceased. There is cum on my notebook. The fields are terminated with herbicide, rather than flood the market with cheap berries." Pyramidal, its certain form. Pyramidal, its certain form, certain it is a form. Wittgenstein or anyone can think of a stag in their mind, but not be able to shoot that stag. And where is all the ever-leavened antimatter that matter supposedly co-creates? At the end of the dream, the poem. At the end of everything else, what else? The end, sighs Sor Juana. The Doors have an 11-minute song called The End, which feels serious when you are 11 and stupid 6 or 8 or 10 months later. Nor did I offer up my own dream, which was a meadow in my cup. Meditation, ha ha ha. The ship kissed the sands of Galenic shores at the buttressed end of my dream, where spectacles do not fear to interpose. Long fallen out of the mouth of Vishnu, so long, Gabriel, so long, Yusen. Now the instrument of my reflection no longer necessary, since the inside is the out, and I've jiggered the mechanism such that my jacket's always dry and clean, and my cock is hard only when I want. No more embarrassing sublinarities. And my cunt is wet just as my lover thinks of fucking it. Cities appear golden to my gaze. A figure, imperial, arises in shadow, long for this world, aching on the threshold of my upturned arse and my one ways and means, lilified cloak and maned with tresses, baldly dignified. The cloak was regal, it did not speak, yet Diogenes leapt on it, yet the trumpets pointed one direction and trained to a kind of roseate beam, that same pink beam Philip K. Dick saw emanating from that fish necklace around the neck of that delivery girl he saw on the doorway after he'd had his wisdom teeth removed. That same beam that triangulated with Arcturus, aka Alpha Boetus, to flash up and hit it, smack in the third eye, till it and we are bent, sobbing, having given up our library, having died of the plague and worse, having vowed never again to write with pen and ink, having inscribed Yo la peor, I the worst, in blood, on the back of a dirty pamphlet, but oh, what unmiserable mind is this? No me miserum, no le me tangere, nothing miserable, nothing touches me. This machine kills rapists. Julian was shown the entirety. And they are at their old battle again. The little ones who vie and vie for my attention. Perhaps I'd been phoning it in, or not really doing the thing I was meant to do. I'd been all day at the library, my place of worship. I'd told myself, they can't all be zingers. I'd mostly failed to lucid dream. I'd spent the money in my mind months before it arrived, and when I drew the curtains back on my own attention to reveal, surrounded by books, it did not know what to do, full-headed and unfortunate of wit. Someone was practicing their scales on who knew what instrument, perhaps horned, perhaps keyed. I gave up speculating. I took half-earnestly to tweet. I made a sign that said, this machine impeaches rapists, and cut the cardboard into the shape of a heart. By my own prayers, I wish to pray. By my own prayer, I wish to banish the murderous sentiment I harbored for the rapist, my wish for him to combust the way his face suggests he might. Ara said she wanted to cut off his hands and force him to eat them. It is a clever cruelty and apt. In a more direct allusion to Woody Guthrie, I first imagined writing, this machine kills rapists, but I thought it went against my prayer to not be seduced by hate. But what do I do with this wish for another person to die until he is dead? More than dead. Julian of Norwich was shown the entirety of the world in an orb the size of a hazelnut, lying in the palm of her hand, it seemed to her, round as any ball, the world, the blessed world, as it might be termed, in a nutshell. And she fears that it might for littleness fall to naught, but her God shows her it is all that is, made an endless head, as it were, a thing within a thing, befallen to the ghastly or the ghostly eye. Too dusky now to write about the weather. Too dusky now to write about the weather, which has fallen on me. It's fallen on me. There's a twinning, which heals, doesn't it? Which heals and heals, doesn't it? The hammer-on sings the thing, or rather thrums the thing, thrums the melody twice. And I tried to circumvent the wind within my business turning. It was the wheel within my business somehow playing a prank with itself, being like, which Saint Julian are you? Not a saint, not even outside ourself, not even inside ourself, sharpening the knife and bearing down menacingly on yourself, which is not yours and which is not a self, not a self. Too dusky now. You forgot to pluck words from yourself, but you never forget your eyes, locus of anxiety, the way you plucked out your eyebrows and eyelashes as a child, resulting in a patchy appearance to your face, as if your face were patched together. Your eyes were not quite still, the lashes have not quite grown back, the eyebrows resulting in a weird appearance to your face, resulting in a weird appearance to your face. And how did it arrive? A prank coming apart? They say Leonardo da Vinci painting. No, that's not right. They say is a thing they say to make it seem oral. They say the Mona Lisa looks like Leonardo, that even the best artists only make reflections of themselves, thinly veiled reflections of themselves, perhaps. But if I couldn't see myself, if there were no reflection like the campfire, then what is there? Feeling come down on me. Desire to get wasted, momentary and passing. My feelings pyramidal, meaning it rises to a point. Mine eye. The billions of locusts on the BBC. I'm almost embarrassed to be having my writing feeling in front of everybody. A mark appeared, 24th November 2016. Then if I must or if I do write beautiful poetry, is it that I am compelled? Is it that I compel myself? The question, as always, is a grammatical one, one that asks, what is the subject? What is the object? And are they twain? Take this question further, Julian. Or are they twain? Write letters, several letters. I mean, what is meant to say epistolary notes, right? Also letters. What is the meaning of the sounds and the letters you've studied is not a question. You don't need to count the syllables in a line as Kabbalists write or study God or Yahweh. A to Z are all the names for what you call Itzanaklesh, Yusen, creator of all warmth and light and love and bringer of all joy, what illuminates the plants and makes the cheek of my beloved shine with joy and makes the cheek of my beloved shine with joy and makes curl the curls of my beloved's hair and makes curl the curls of my beloved's hair, ultimate joy, and it is not the body. Then, if I must or do enumerate the thing, only small paw. If I had been made to understand my task in this way, if my eye was compelled to return from its wanderings, and if I lolled in the sun, a cat king, a cat queen, if I was made or if I made the verses, it is a mistake to wonder. It suggests there is no singularity. Ara says, if I were to guess at how you'd like to be treated merely from the standpoint of being a Scorpio, it is as a singularity, but there are also the vagaries of polytest to which, yes, I also expect others to bow. I know I want to be treated as a singularity, and but yet the singleness also a multitudinous entity, Claude OKC. And if I felt the range divided into double parts, and if the fluidity of my course cut off at its fundament, its source. And as I saw the grove divided into several parts, so in I entered was, and if, or as it were, I was smitten, smoted, by the double boot, to which I had allegiance, former pled, to which my grace had not, or not, unpermitted conveyances, I walked on it, sure. I expressed my mind thereunto, or thereunto. I thought it was the only thing, I thought there was not beyond it, and when I saw, or when I was made to see, still counting on my fingers in disbelief, a mark appeared upon my arm, unthought, unbidden, an instance of grammatical passivity, a tipi, or as Ara said, the Chinese symbol for people. or as I thought but didn't say, presence fading, now counting, the top of a veve, a glyph to which all future markings tend. What means this line or lines? Impulse to go back and to correct the lines, my own, I mean, or ones received by me. The conceit of an outward source was ever an excuse for poetry. The lines etched into my arm one morning as they appeared to me, November 24th, 2016, the day of mourning. In the mirror, it feels etched, if I decide to notice the feeling. Cool, in fact, no pain. I wanted to feel my feelings, one reason for getting sober, or stamped, rather, as if all at once, not drawn or as lines, a singularity, devoutly or holily, to be wished. It doesn't have to be wished for a thing that is just is. It doesn't have to be thought of or even less so desired. Wolves come in, a droning sound. Ara's grandmother used to wake her with the sound of mourning doves. Hoo, 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 hoo. It is one I've often imitated when I was in the wilderness. Once I had or have had a gift for knowing when the poem would end. I glanced sunward where last night the dog star shone and danced in our bedroom. Window in the south, the southeast. How therefore to please within the pittance of an eye. And when I almost blinked, the sun became precise. Self-articulated, or was it me? Wrong question. The mouth, the eyes were formerly, as of this moment, loci of anxiety. Now I'm freed from want or wanting, and it is all of my desire, and I never worry, do I? Do I? Image presented itself. It was the visible voice of the creator. So was the streetlight in the sycamores. So was the car, alarming on and off. What causeth salt? What causeth salt to lose its moisture? Mistakenly said yes, I wanted room for cream, merely to be agreeable. Just because you strung a few words together on the subject doesn't mean you've solved your loneliness. Just the suggestion of salt causeth the skin to lose its moisture. Coffee, whose sweat unwittingly splays out all the parts of the Swiss Army knife at once. Grow your hair out only to wear it in a top bun, which can be hacked off by any errant boomerang. All my pores opened to the fatuous claim of sovereignty, and out come flowing all the water I had coming to me. Piano waited to be played. Deer hoof rattles rested sorrowfully in the museum. Beasts unbroke their backs, aching for song or on account of song, like a courtier pricks away from a sovereign, they pricked backward away from the sun, where it sets, where it should, over the ocean. Thank you.